man who laid his life down and died for us, whose name was Jesus Christ. And more than that, of course, we're here because he was raised from the dead. This is what's called Resurrection Sunday, the Sunday to rejoice that our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, though he was dead, he was made alive by the power of God that still lives upon the face of the earth. Because he lives, the Bible says also we can live. Many of us here have problems with death. None of us here want to die, I don't believe. Not today especially. And all of us realize that one thing is for certain, all of us will die unless Jesus Christ tarries and comes back, and we have a thing that's called the rapture of the church. The problem we have with death is that we were not really hardwired by God to ever die. The Bible says whenever God made Adam and Eve, he did not make them to die. He made them to be alive even today, 6,000 years longer. The fact is, in science, scientists tell us that 98% of the atoms of our body are replaced every year. That means if you saw me a year ago and now see me today, I'm not the same person. My atoms have all been changed, 98% replaced and changed every year. Our skeletal structure transitions every 3 months. Our skin regenerates every 3 weeks. Our stomach lining regenerates every 4 days. The truth is, scientists can't even figure out why we age. They say it seems like there's something in us to regenerate us, revive us, renew us on a day-by-day, week-by-week, month-by-month basis. But somehow, there is something in the atmosphere, there's something on this earth that causes everything alive to go through decay and to go through death. We know ourselves that are believers, it's because of sin that death was released upon the face of this earth. There was a thing called the tree of life back in the Garden of Eden, and God forbade Adam and Eve to eat of that tree of life any longer once they sinned, because if they ate of the tree of life, the Bible says they would live forever and not die. But now the mortal body, out of mercy, must die, because God wants to bring forth a death to our mortal body that he might bring eternal life to our spirit man to live forever with him in what's called a glorified body in the life to come. I'm going to go to a place that's kind of sensitive this morning, because here today on Easter Sunday, some of you that are here and some folks across our own nation and nations of the earth, as a matter of fact, as well, only go to church on Easter Sundays. Now, why is that? It might be because something happened, maybe perhaps a long time ago, maybe only months ago, maybe only a few years ago. Maybe something took place that brought a hurt to your life, a wound to your life, a change to your life. And so somehow, some way, you find yourself not following God as much as you used to in times past. You still love God, you still love Jesus Christ, but the following part of him, the zeal for him, the fire for him, might not be today what it was perhaps months or years ago. Maybe someone close to you died. Maybe a fellow believer, a fellow Christian, somehow let you down, betrayed you, was a hypocrite in front of you. Those things brought hurt and pain to your life, perhaps. It might have been a disaster in finances. Maybe someone did not get healed you prayed for. You know that the Bible says all things are possible for those who believe. Yet they still died of cancer. They still died of leukemia. They still died in a car crash, perhaps. And you might be almost upset with God today for not answering a prayer like that. Also, I found sometimes folks go through tremendous success in life. Their success brings in hobbies and finances, and it brings in more business. It brings in more busyness. And from that success, there's all of a sudden no time for God. There's no time for godly things. There's no time to get our focus and priorities upon the realm of the Spirit, because we're so busy in the realms of our body and of our soul. And God is saying to us again today, what took place perhaps in your life that God may want to take and talk to you today about this message, some things that might bring some focus and bring some balance to us. In many people's lives, seasons come where following God no longer seems to make sense, or doesn't make as much sense as it made perhaps a few years ago. I found there's two spectrums in all humans' lives, and those two spectrums consist on one side of problems and adversities and difficulties. On the other side is what's called potential. It's also called our purpose, and it's also called our destinies. As long as purpose outweighs problems, it seems like we have a reason to be alive, a reason to exist, and a reason to be on the face of the earth. But what happens whenever sometimes problems outweigh purpose? When those things take place and happen, we can find ourselves going through obscurity and wondering, is there really a reason to be on the face of this earth? We've seen in Hollywood, we've seen among even famous people How when times take place where problems outweigh vision and outweigh our purpose in life, those things actually weigh against us so much, even suicide is thought about. Putting an end to our own lives. That is not God's desire, not God's best for us, because God's got a purpose, God's got a reason for all of us to be alive. Every day we are alive, because God said in His Word, I've prepared every day for you from the very foundations of the creation of the earth. We're going to look now at a woman named Mary Magdalene that was shown also in this video here, the first one that saw Jesus Christ after He died on the cross. And we're going to see how a moment of time took place in her life where problems outweighed purpose. How she went through a time herself of wondering why she was alive and what was going on around her, and if Jesus Christ really was who He said He was on the earth. Look in your Bibles and on the screen here as well at Mark chapter 16, verse 1. And it says, now, when the Sabbath was past, Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James, and Salome, they brought some spices that they may come and anoint Jesus Christ. Then on now to John chapter 20, verse 1. It says, now on the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene went to the tomb early, while it was still dark. And it says she saw that the same the stone had been rolled and taken away from the tomb. And then she ran and came to Simon Peter and to the other disciples whom Jesus loved and said to them, they have taken away the Lord out of the tomb, and we do not know where they have laid Him. Life had stopped making sense to her, but it wasn't the first time life didn't make sense to her, because long before Jesus Christ came into her life and set her free and saved her soul and saved her from sins, her life was totally out of control and going through some very, very rough things every day. Luke chapter 8, verse 2 talks about this. It says, and certain women who had been healed of evil spirits and infirmities, Mary called Magdalene, out of whom had come seven demons. Now, all of us here have had dark times in our past, even the pastor of the church, amen? And the fact is, even today, some of those dark times, those old temptations, seem to rear their ugly head and try to take control of us once again. There's actually some sins that some of us actually find ourselves loving to do and loving to commit again and again and again. The reason some folks also fall away from God and fall away from local churches, the body of Christ, is because of guilt and condemnation that Satan puts on them by habitual sins and shortcomings in their lives. But this says here that Mary Magdalene was not only a sinful person, she actually had seven demons living in her. Now, can you imagine having only one demon in your life? Right from the pit of hell, that'd be bad enough. She had seven demons controlling her life. Being possessed by demons means demons own you. They own your thoughts. They own your actions. They own your habits. They will drive you into dry, lonely places and bring severe depression, oppression, and bad things to your life. Because the devil only comes, the Bible says, but to kill and steal and destroy. She's going through a really rough patch in her life. I'm sure Mary Magdalene sometime would say, could there just be one day, just one day, where I find myself free of these demons tormenting me, talking to me, and causing me to do things I really don't even want to do. Her life made no sense. There was no sense in her life. There was no purpose in her life. There was no vision in her life. There was no plan for her life. She just lived day by day with demons living in her life. The good news is, somehow, some way, Mary Magdalene finds herself going to one of Jesus Christ's crusades, one of His meeting places. And Jesus sees her. Jesus prays for her. He discerns there's demons in her. He drives all seven demons out, probably with a word. She finds herself totally free and transformed immediately by the power of Almighty God. The good news is, Jesus Christ still does that also today in this day and age. Now, all of a sudden, Mary Magdalene's life had a reason to exist. She had a purpose. She had a vision. She had a zeal. She had a love. She began to realize why she was alive, and all of a sudden, her life made sense for the first time. Look now at Luke chapter 8, verse 3. It says, along with Mary Magdalene, there also was Joanna, the wife of Chuza, Herod's steward, and Susanna, and many others who provided for Jesus from their substance. They may help with the crowds. They may have helped to hand out food or pass out doggy bags or go to Long John Silver and bring back fish and chips. They might have brought somehow some comfort of blankets or brought some rest and some refreshments and some water. Somehow, some way, these women were always there to help make sure the natural needs are being met for the crowds and also for Jesus Christ, the disciples themselves, as they traveled around the place of Israel and saw signs, wonders, miracles, and teachings and ministry taking place. Her life made sense. She realized why she was alive. And every day she woke up, she was rejoicing in her deliverance, her freedom, and her work with the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus then goes through a thing last Sunday we called Palm Sunday. He comes to the apex of his ministry. The crowds of Jerusalem are shouting, "Hosanna, Hosanna to God in the highest," waving palm branches, throwing them down at his feet. And all the crowd is saying, "You are the King of Kings. You are the Lord of Lords. You are who you say you are." But how fickle the crowds can be. I want to stop right there and say, I don't care what our culture, our governments, or the media says about negative things of Jesus Christ, of God in the Bible, don't buy into lies in these last days. The crowds are still fickle even today. And I don't care how many degrees these folks have got, how large is their vocabulary, how much they think they know, they don't know the truth, and they say that Jesus Christ is not the Son of God and the way, the truth, and the life. And I'm saying these last days, be aware that this deception will be rampant upon the face of the earth. In the minds of many people, we turned and swayed against the Bible and against God's Word and against truth. And those things are only for our detriment. They're not for the benefit of our nation, our state, our city, or our people. Amen? So Jesus Christ goes through Palm Sunday, and then, of course, a few days go by. And all of a sudden, the Pharisees, the Sadducees, and rulers of the land deceive the people very quickly and say, "This man's a traitor, a deceiver. He is not who he says he is. He must be crucified." And the same crowd singing the songs of Hosanna are now saying, "Away with him, kill him, crucify him, nail him to the tree. Give us Barabbas in his place. Give us the murderer. Rather have him than have just Jesus who says he's the Son of God." How quickly the crowds can change. These crowds change, and Mary Magdalene sees Jesus Christ, the Savior, on the cross. Die on the cross, a spear in his side, crown of thorns on his head, beaten to a pulp, shame before all of mankind, then put behind a stone in a tomb, wrapped in cloth and wrapped in 100 pounds of dry spices. And it seems like everything she knew about and believed about this Lord and Savior Jesus Christ was now totally obscured in her face. And now all of a sudden life makes no sense. I want to say to you that are here that are believers, that's just how serving God will be in your life. Life will make no sense apart from Jesus Christ. Then Jesus Christ will come inside your life and set you free and forgive you of all your sins, live inside of you by the power of the Holy Spirit. And then you'll realize, even in my life with Christ, I'm finding out that sometimes bad things happen to good people. And those bad things take place when problems happen, is in those times God tests us. And God watches us, and God sees. Are we people of relationship, or only people that see God as a Santa Claus who's there to give me a life insurance policy and a way to escape hell, but not a Father, Daddy, Abba God who speaks to me, lives in me, and is a God of relationships? We must train our children and our grandchildren. God's alive. God speaks. God loves us. And God is a God of relationships. Amen? Not just salvation, not just being good and doing rules. God's a God who lives and breathes and talks around us, among us, and through us, by His Word, by His Spirit, through His people, through circumstances. God is around us every day of our lives. Again, these men had wrapped His body in dry spices. And so Mary Magdalene, being a female, being a woman, realizes it's proper to give him ointments, anointing oil, fragrance. He deserves not just old, dry, 100 pounds full of dry spice only. He deserves to smell and be fragrant as an offering to his God and be honored by this in his death, in his burial upon the earth. So she goes there, she waits, because the Bible tells us that the Jews would celebrate the Sabbath by doing no labor and no work whatsoever. But at 6 p.m. when the sun goes down, the Sabbath is over, And there's Mary Magdalene waiting at 6 o'clock exactly on the dot, and rushes in the place to put the ointment on Jesus Christ's body. And she goes in the tomb, and of course the stone's been rolled away, and Jesus Christ is not in this place. Mary is shocked to see the stone's not there. It's been rolled away. He's not there as well. So the Bible says she runs off and finds Peter and John, the ones who were closest to Jesus, for help. They run back to the tomb with her. She's the first one that saw that Jesus Christ had been raised from the dead. When they go to the tomb and see it's empty, they actually offered her no help, the Bible says. They left her standing there by herself, wondering what has happened themselves to this person whose name was Jesus Christ. This is a woman who is looking into an empty tomb, who now following Jesus has stopped, has said life has now again stopped making sense all over again. She'd gone from life doesn't make sense to life with Jesus Christ does make sense to life with Jesus Christ does not make sense. Almost it seems like full circle. I want to ask you a question right now. Have you ever found yourself going through a thing called spiritual bankruptcy? If you're going through a thing that's called faith bankruptcy, you don't even have faith for a cold to get healed. You don't even have faith for your dog to get healed. I mean, you're going through a time where the dries are there. You don't sense God's presence. You don't sense God's movements. You don't sense the goosebumps you had years and years ago, perhaps. I want to say right now that God says the just must live by faith, not by sight. And God will sometimes withdraw, it seems like, his presence from us only for seasons. Let us realize you've got to grow up in your walk with God and not live by feelings or by emotions only, but live by faith that God is ever with us, ever-present help in times of trouble. Even when I can't feel him, God is still right there with me regardless. Amen? So many believers have got to feel God and feel things and see things happen. And God is saying, I will sometimes withdraw those things from you, from your five senses, that you might serve me not by your emotions, but serve me by faith. Because I am still with you, says the Lord. You know, the body of Christ in America right now has gone through a tremendous revival in the 70s and 80s called the Charismatic Movement. We're in kind of a spiritual lull right now where churches across our nation, for the most part, are going backwards in attendance. Denominations are losing people by the thousands. And our 20-some-year-olds are dropping out of church. About 80% of our Christian young people are quitting church in their 20s in America today. I would say to all these people again, you cannot rely upon man and what man does and what churches do in your walk with Jesus Christ. You must develop yourself a personal relationship with the living God. And it's very possible, it's very doable, but it does take you investing time beyond church services like this to read the Bible, pray to God, praise God, worship him, and realize God wants a relationship with you that happens even beyond church services like this upon the earth. Amen? We serve a good God, a kind God, a God who is with us. So in John chapter 20 and verse 14, it says, now when she had said this, she turned around to leave. Turned around to leave. Life made no sense. Jesus Christ is dead. Somebody's stolen his body. Somebody's kidnapped him. They probably hated him. And now she turns around to leave the scene. Then it goes on and says this. And she saw Jesus standing there and did not know that it was Jesus. Told the church here a story about a man whose name is Bill Wilson in New York's ghettos, who years ago had a bus ministry with thousands of kids coming every Sunday to church who were ghetto children who had no fathers for the most part, who were from drug addict families and all kind of trials around them. And this man, he faced beatings sometimes. He faced cursings, swearings, and all kind of bad things took place in the natural realm of the settings of the ghetto he was at in New York City. But finally, as time was going by, one day he turned around a corner and a young man threw a brick at his face, caught him in his eye, and actually almost plucked his eye clear out of its socket. The doctors in the hospital said, you will never see out of this eye again. You'll be blind in the eye. You might even lose this eye. This young man lay down on his pillow that night and told God, it's too much. I'm giving all I can for these people, and now you take my sight from me. I am going to wake up in the morning, pack my bags, and quit the ministry and not be serving you the way I have. It's just too much. He lays down feeling sorry for himself, crying in self-pity like anybody else probably would have that night. But he wakes up the next morning, and the good news was God had totally healed his eye, and his eyesight was back restored to 100% normal because he saw Jesus standing there at the foot of his bed in the spiritual realm the next morning. Sometimes when it seems like all is lost and all is gone and all is a failure, God shows up and God brings forth breakthroughs that only God can bring forth. God did it that day for Mary Magdalene. He'll do it for you and I as well. The word resurrection comes from two Greek words that together actually mean to stand again, to stand again. I was down, I was dead, I was lost, but now I stand again. If I ever die here before Jesus Christ comes back, I've asked Cheryl to get a guest speaker, a preacher to help do my funeral. The main things when the preacher says, is there any last words? My request would be the last words I hear a preacher say over my body is these words. Look, he's moving. Now, that's probably very unlikely to happen. Amen. By that time, I'll probably be in heaven and want to just stay in heaven and not come back down to the earth again. But I'm saying that Jesus Christ, look, he is moving. He died. He rose again. And the stone was rolled away by angels. And praise God that God received his son back to heaven once again in power, might, and glory. No longer in mortality or weakness, but as King of kings and Lord of lords. The good news is Jesus Christ is coming back again for his people to bring forth the same resurrection and transformation in their lives that he found took place also in his life. The resurrection means to stand again. The last time Mary saw Jesus, he had died on the cross, was wrapped in spices and cloth and laid in a tomb with a stone. Now she saw him standing there but did not recognize who he was. And verse number 15 goes on here and says, Jesus said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping? Whom are you seeking?" She, supposing him to be the gardener, said to him, "Sir, if you've carried him away, tell me where you have laid him, and I will take him away." Then verse 16 goes on and says, he answers her one word, and he says the word, her name, Mary. Won't you be glad when you see Jesus Christ face to face after you die that he says your name? Because when he says your name, that means he knows who you are. The Bible says we see Jesus Christ face to face in the judgment seat of Christ that takes place after our bodies die. God will say one of two things to us. Either, "Well done, good and faithful servant, Mary, John, Joe, whatever your name may be there, enter now into the joys of heaven forevermore." Or he'll say, "Depart from me, worker of iniquity, I never knew you." Don't even know your name. Don't even know who you are. He said, "Mary," which means I know you. Mary answers him back and says the words in your Bible says, "Rabboni," which actually means teacher. And now life makes sense to Mary all over again. When the iPhone came out, I have my iPhone right here in my back pocket. When the iPhone came out, what did Apple's slogan for this phone say? "This will change everything." I've got an iPhone right now. I can promise you that not everything has changed in my life at all. I'm still getting older, still losing some hair here and there, still paying mortgage, still paying for things on earth. I'm still eating food. Now, I can text. I can check the weather better. I can send emails out on my phone. And I can pull up pictures and take pictures even overseas sometimes and get them back in Cheryl's hands much quicker. I can get contacts of you guys and your phone numbers faster. Some things have changed, but not all things have changed by the iPhone. Amen? When Jesus Christ rose from the dead, all things changed. That's the one event in world history that is inevitably happening to around us, is the world has changed because of the resurrection of Jesus Christ himself. The resurrection of Jesus changed everything. When Jesus Christ rose from the dead by the power of God, everything around us was changed. I want to give you, in closing here, three changes took place on the earth because Jesus Christ rose from the dead. On the screen here as well, these are what I call take-home points. Number one is God put an exclamation mark on all of his promises. When Jesus Christ died and rose again, God exclaimed all the things he'd said about his son, Jesus Christ. What makes us different than all religions of the earth? I just came back from Myanmar, which is the Buddhist capital of the world. I went to a big giant Buddhist temple that's actually a tourist attraction there to see twin cobra serpents that were intertwined about 30 feet long, and their mouths are wide open and people are stuffing currency in their mouths as offerings to Buddha for favor and success in this life, and also they hope reincarnation in the life to come. But whether it be Buddha or Muhammad or whoever's going to be of other religions, the fact is you can find their bodies in the grave. Only in Christianity through Jesus Christ you don't find our leader in the grave. He is the only one who was raised from the dead and lives forevermore and can say, I am your God, I am your Lord, I am who I said I am, who I say I am. I am the resurrection and I am the life. Everything in the Old Testament points towards the cross. Everything in the New Testament points back to the cross. The cross is the apex and the center of man's life on the face of the earth. Do you realize that thousands of years ago, the Bible prophesied nails in hands, spear inside, no bones broken, being dead on the Passover, being in Jerusalem, being born in Bethlehem, on and on I can go, but all the prophecies by the hundreds fulfilled by the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And the fact is, they were all witnessed by humans who wrote them down in the Bible years and years ago. No other book of religion can say that. Eyewitness accounts of what Jesus Christ said he was, is, and would be that have all been verified in archaeology, in history, in science, and also in nature. All the things that God says have come to pass and are true and are yes and amen, and can be verified by science, by archaeology, by nature, and by history on the face of the earth. No religion can say that except for Christianity and Jesus. Number two, what changed was God is now able to deal with all your problems because Jesus Christ was raised from the dead. Satan's only mentioned 17 times in the whole entire Old Testament, but the Old Testament is 2/3 of the Bible. Only 17 times. 12 times of 17 are found in one book called the Book of Job and the trials he went through at the devil's hand. Now, why is that? Whereas New Testament, Satan's mentioned sometimes more than 2 or 3 times in one chapter. Why is that? Because in the Old Testament, before Jesus Christ died on the cross, man could not deal with Satan at all. Man had to go through festivals and rituals and Passovers and sacrificing animals one time a year to deal with sin and deal with Satan on the earth. But now that Jesus Christ has come and rose from the dead, the Holy Spirit now lives among us and lives in us. And the Bible says, greater is he that is in you now than he that is in this world. And for this purpose is the Son of God made manifest to destroy the works of the devil. Yes. Satan's talked about again and again, New Testament, because we can now deal with him in Jesus' name. Because Jesus Christ rose from the dead and the Holy Spirit now lives here among us, we have power over death and hell and the grave ourselves in the name of Jesus Christ. Mountains can be moved by the mouths of Christians who believe what God says is true, and they'll speak out God's word, they'll speak out the prayers of the Lord, and believe that nothing is impossible for our God. Amen? The key thing there is, in due time, in due season, by perseverance, submission, and obedience, all things are possible for those who believe. When you accept Jesus Christ in your life, it does not mean the end to all your problems. Amen? You know, I've seen born-again believers wearing glasses come to the altar. People get saved and receive Christ. When they sit down, they're still wearing glasses. Their eyes aren't healed. That's a separate work that God will do beyond you getting saved. Problems still happen to Christians on the earth. The good news is, every problem we face, we now have God to help fight the battles with us. And there are some battles that are just too big for us to be fighting by ourselves. We're not a crutch. A help in times of trouble is who God is. And God prevents things, and God delivers us from things, and God's there with us. Every problem we face in life. In John chapter 20, verse 17, Jesus tells Mary, don't cling to me any longer. Why is he saying that? He's saying, you're no longer going to go through a time with me where you can touch me and hold me like you did in times past as a human. Now things are changing in your life. He goes on and says, go now to the disciples, the brethren, and tell them I have risen from the dead. What he's saying is, don't cling to me. I'm going to go to the heaven to my Father, but now cling to your brethren around you and minister one to another and to them. I have changed your ministry, says the Lord. Mary goes through a time of transition, a paradigm shift, for it was only Jesus for so long. The honeymoon time was there for a long time. Now it's time to grow up and mature and realize I'm out to serve humanity with the giftings and callings God's placed in my life. And though Jesus Christ is not here among us physically, among us right now today, he is still here among us as the body of Christ. Brothers and sisters working together under the power of the anointing of God to be a blessing not just to each other but also to the world out there who needs Christ as Lord and Savior. Last of all, number three, what's changed is we have access now to heaven. We have access to heaven. The Bible says when Jesus Christ died on the cross, there was a great big thick veil separating mankind from the thing called the Ark of the Covenant. The Ark of the Covenant is where God's presence dwelt at. When Jesus Christ died and rose again, God ripped the veil in two and said, no longer shall only the priest have access to heaven and to me. Now, because my Son died on the cross, I give mankind access to me and to heaven forevermore for all those who call upon the name of the Lord. That's good news. We can hear God's voice. We can sense God in us. God lives among us. God is with us, and God is our daddy. God is our God of relationship who lives among us today. Making it to heaven is not about being perfect, because if you have to be perfect, I won't go there. I'm not perfect even one day in my life. You can ask my wife. She'll verify that. I do imperfect things every day. I don't drive perfect. I don't talk perfect. I don't dress perfect. Almost perfect on the driving part. But because I heard my wife get a little comment right there. I don't want to give me ammunition. But I'm saying I do imperfect things like you do every day of my life. Amen? It's not about also obeying the Ten Commandments. Because all of us disobey the Ten Commandments at least once a year, it seems like. Somehow, some way. Thou shalt not lie. Thou shalt not lust. Thou shalt not covet. All these things we find ourselves doing sometimes. We don't make heaven by obeying the Ten Commandments only. Also, we don't make heaven because we go to church or belong to a church. Praise God for Tree of Life Church. When Jesus Christ comes back, he's going to take and not just receive Tree of Life people. He's going to receive people of all churches across the world for those who know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. A church cannot save you. Amen? So being on a church's roll, a member of a church, may be a good thing, but it won't send you to heaven. You must be born again. Amen. Being baptized in water will not save you. The waters of Austin, Texas cannot send you to heaven. Amen. Being baptized is the commandment that God gives us, but the thief on the cross who died with Jesus did not get down and get baptized in water. But the Bible says, this day you shall be with me in paradise. All these things that man tries to do will not get them into heaven. We must be born again. What's that mean? What that means is I realize I can't save myself. I can't be good enough. I can't go to church enough. I can't be kind enough. I can't be a good boy enough. I've got to take and realize it's only through Jesus Christ I can receive salvation and eternal life. When I worked with David Hatley, a missionary in Kenya, in Global Advance as well through the years here, I learned to never try and lead somebody where I've never been myself. Jack Adams is leading a team to Ecuador in a few months, but he's already been to Ecuador himself. He's already been there. I've been to Kali Mule, Myanmar now. I can take folks there now because I've been there. I've seen what takes place in that nation. But also the good news is because Jesus Christ died on the cross and rose again, he's been there. He knows how to raise us also from the dead. He will quicken, the Bible says, our mortal bodies. He will raise our spirit man up to life to live with God forevermore. And the good news is heaven's not just, it's not just clouds and harps and streets of gold and some mansion you're trapped in for 500 trillion years. You are there to rule and reign with him forevermore over all creation throughout the entire universe. God has got excitement. God has got creativity. God has got genius. God has got speed. God has got all manifestation around us forevermore in the life to come. This life is only a vapor. It's short. It's quick. It goes so fast. But eternity rolls on forever and ever and evermore. And the biggest decision we make in life is, who will we serve on this earth? Will it be ourselves, our kingdom, our lives, or will it be God and Jesus Christ who makes sense of our lives? Well, our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed right now just for privacy's sake. Before we take communion this morning together, I want to first of all ask you to search your own hearts and ask the Holy Spirit also to search your heart. And just again, to be private, our eyes are closed, our heads are bowed. And I want to ask today a question. If you would die today, or die tomorrow, or die this week, the Bible says to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. You will see God face to face. And the Bible says we'll all give an account for the lives we lived on the face of the earth. Is there enough evidence in your life on this earth to say, I've done all it takes to know I am going to heaven? Again, it's not good works. It's not church membership. It's not the Ten Commandments. It's not belonging to a local church like this. You must be born again. What that means is my spirit man is dead. It only comes alive if I say, Jesus, dear God, I am a sinner. I have sinned because all have sinned and come short of the glory and desires of God. But I, oh God, this day admit I need a Savior. I cannot save myself. I believe that your Son, Jesus Christ, paid the price for my sins when he died on the cross and gave his life for me. I now accept that salvation myself. And Father, I thank you, oh God, that you are the one that washes all my sins away. You take sin from me. You come inside my life and forgive me. And you become my God, my Lord, and my Savior. And I accept you and receive you right now into my heart. In Jesus' name, and I thank you, God, you forgive me. Amen. Amen. I prayed a prayer like that at age 11 in Kansas many years ago. When I prayed that prayer, God always hears that prayer. I don't care how bad you may think you are. I don't care how far away from God you may think you are today. Mary Magdalene had 7 demons in her, a prostitute. Jesus sought her out. Saved her, delivered her, and she became a person who knows Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. She's in heaven right now, praising, worshiping God, and serving him in the way that God ordained. Well, heads are bowed and eyes are closed this morning. I want to ask this morning, do you know Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior? Or is your heart right with God today? If you'd like to pray a prayer this morning, not in a way that would embarrass you, but a way that would be meaningful for you today, to receive Christ in your life for the first time, or perhaps give your life back to God this morning and rededication back to him. I want you to be honest this morning and just raise your hand right now where you're at for a moment. Raise your hand high and say, I need to receive prayer today to receive Christ in my life or get my life right with God once again, my heart right with God once again. Would you just raise your hand right now if you're like that this morning? Boys, girls, men, women, anybody else? Raise your hands high for a moment. You might see who God's working on, God's moving on. Precious children, I see the hand back here in the back, in the middle here as well. God bless you, young lady. Bless you, ma'am. Thank you so much. Anybody else? Be honest. You know, right now, today, may be the last time you come to a service, a church service like this. And the Holy Spirit's here among us, not to condemn us or judge us. He's here to save us. He's here to bring forth life to us. God only does good things for us. Praise you, Father God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. I'm going to ask Shannon and Jack Adams to go ahead and come to the front now, if you do that, please. Just go ahead and stand up here, if you would, maybe toward the side over here. Those folks that raise their hands, I want you to make sure before you leave this building this morning that you find Jack Adams or you find Shannon Porterfield. They have some information to give to you, some things to read from the Bible. It'll help you out. They're also here to talk with you, perhaps even also to pray with you, that you might follow up on your decision and say, I know that I know that I know that Jesus Christ is Lord of my life. I want to receive him. I accept him. I want him to live inside of my life from this day forward. I praise God for those four or five folks that raise their hands. Please take time before you leave this place this morning to take and get with these guys and pray with them.